Welcome back to What's the Lesson, Y'all, where we illuminate the vital role of social and emotional learning skills through personal narratives and the insights of remarkable individuals in the youth development space. Today's episode is sponsored by Bark Technologies, our trusted tech solution for content monitoring on all of your kids' devices. And today, we're delighted to introduce you to our special guest, who is a beacon of wisdom for mothers everywhere, Kim Minch, the founder of The Real Life Parent Guide.
Kim's journey, marked by her own parenting challenges, led her to an eye-opening realization. The essence of great parenting lies in trusting one's inner wisdom. This discovery gave way to Real Life Parent Guide, a sanctuary for mothers of adolescents striving to be calm, confident mentors for their children.
Central to Kim's philosophy is the idea that tuning out the external noise and focusing on personal growth are key to forging healthier, stronger relationships with our kids. With over 200,000 followers across her social media platforms, it's evident that Kim's message is striking a chord with mothers seeking the guidance that she offers.
Join us as we delve into the ups and downs of parenting adolescents, the transformative power of self-trust, and the journey towards becoming confident, nurturing mothers. Let's get into it. Welcome to What's the Lesson, the podcast that takes you on a deep dive into the world of character development.
We're Jill and Mary, the dynamic duo behind Girls Mentorship.
We foster self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-awareness for tween and teen girls, along with their invaluable network of supporters through events, resources, and mentorship.
Picture us as your coaches, walking alongside you through the world of social-emotional learning, and think of this podcast as your own personal roadmap.
We'll support you in discovering obstacles that might be holding you back, and gain clarity on why this work is a game changer, not only for your growth, but for the next generation of leaders as well.
Alongside our fantastic guests, we're here to share knowledge about how you can change old patterns of behavior and make sense of those WTF moments, shifting them into lessons that can drastically improve your life instead.
Whether you're an entrepreneur, a superhero stay-at-home mom, or someone fueled by boundless curiosity, our mission is crystal clear: to supercharge your emotional intelligence and sprinkle the magic of SEL into every corner of your life.
Kim, I'm not sure who found you first, but we started following you on Girls Mentorship. I think the first video we came across on your TikTok.
Yeah.
Your social media is popping, and we love to see it, because so often when we talk to parents about social media, we hear the age old, "That's not for me. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't have time for that." And meanwhile, you're over here just, producing video after video, engaging audiences, getting views upon views, which has to feel incredibly validating for the mission that you're on. So let's start. I want to know how you got onto TikTok and what you started thinking when your videos started garnering some eyeballs. Like, how fun was that for you?
Well, it's a mixed bag, I will say that. And what I would like to say is, I did speaking engagements around our community for the high schools, for the middle schools, and no parents were coming. I did this work for a long time before I had any traction, but I will say that TikTok and Instagram have been the catalyst for me to be able to really reach parents. Someone said to me, because I was frustrated, expressing my frustration probably to another coach or something, and they said, "You do so well on video, Kim. Why don't you jump on TikTok and, you know, I'll teach you everything I know about it." And actually, she at the time had a larger audience than I do currently. And so I was like, okay, you know, so I did everything she told me. I was posting 6 times a day. It was exhausting. It's taken a lot of work. But it is the avenue through which I've been able to connect with parents of young adults. And I'm so grateful every day for for the opportunity to reach a much larger audience than speaking at a middle school or a high school locally has, you know, has given me. That being said, it is great when a video hits and really impacts parents and they tell me, oh my gosh, it's as if you're reading my mind. I mean, I absolutely love that. There are times though when there's backlash and there's things that, you know, they're not overly happy about my saying. Sometimes it's very triggering what I tell parents. And I've gone through being called, you know, lots of names and, you know, being told I'm old and whatever. And you know, at first it is painful. And then you get to a place where you're like, look, I know I've helped enough people with this. And I know that I continue to educate myself. I'm always learning. And I live this with my own 5 adult children. So it's obviously triggering to them. So what I've learned is the whole old thing, the whole old adage, when someone says something negative about you, it's more about them than about you. And so this is what I've learned. And I didn't really understand that until I started sometimes getting backlash.
100%. Well, and I think it's a really interesting call out that you said, you've been doing this work for a long time in front of parents and getting in front of all sorts of different age groups for parents of kids and teens of different ages. I want to relate to that because a year ago, my son's school, so I have 2 boys, and they were hosting a really great event where a nonprofit was going to come in and talk about stigma, mental health stigma. And I was like, great. They invited 2 different schools, and it was going to be hosted at my son's school's library. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I go in and I'm excited. I'm like sitting front row and I'm waiting for the people to show up. And Kim, I'm not kidding when I say this. I was one of 6 people in the audience. Mm-hmm. And the other probably 4 were administration that came because the principal probably told them to, or they were the counselors, or
they were excited about it.
And my heart broke because parents want this type of conversation.
Yes.
But they don't align their actions to support them in garnering the tools necessary to be in the right conversations with their kiddos. So it's interesting that you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
And what's really helped you is going online. Mm-hmm. Because Mary and I have scoured your comment section and people are not only engaging with you, they're engaging with other people. So it's really like you're creating this community where people want to feel seen and valued and heard. And you do that by prompting a really great video. But in the comment section, it's flooded with community and healthy dialogue and conflict, I'm sure. But I just wanted to call that out because we're just in a different time.
Well, and it's something that I wanted to stick on too, because we experience it as well. The want for help, the cry out for, I need your expertise, but the lack of action. So it's something we've gone into spaces as well to where it's like, dang, where is everybody?
Where are the people?
You're asking for the village of support and the community to support you, and we're here, but you then don't show up. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on why, because you're
Okay, I'll tell you why I think this happens. And, you know, you're right. I'm the parent in high school that would have been super excited and been in the front row. And my kids went to a Texas public high school with, you know, 4,000 kids in it. And they were having a speaker come in and there might be 12 parents at the very most. So I totally can identify whether I was a speaker or not the speaker. Like, it just doesn't happen. And the words and the alignment or the words and actions aren't in alignment for parents. And the excuses are, I'm too busy. What am I really going to get out of it? I can't afford to actually get help. All the things, right? So I really think that it has a lot to do with parents feeling, and particularly parents of my age group or my generation, feeling judged. And feeling a lot of shame around their parenting. Mm-hmm. And yes, they need help and they're looking for it, but they're not going to show up necessarily in public for that. They're, you know, and I have a thriving moms group. So a group of moms that meets twice a week, but the only criteria is their son or daughter needs to be 18 and older. And those women that come are so wanting to be supported and give support. And it's very non-judgmental. So it's just, it's very interesting to me, but I would have to say, I think there is a huge amount of judgment. You can see it on my videos at times. Well, if you would have just parented, if you would have just done what, you know, so I think there's a lot of need, but parents feel very judged and shamed about if their kids are going off the rails. And the reality is when parents get into a room together and they start honestly talking, they see that they aren't alone. So many parents are struggling with the same types of things. And if they just would realize that they're, you know, if we could just be a little more honest and truthful. And I think in part, that's why I wrote my book and shared my personal parenting journey, was because I wanted to, there's not enough truth in the world. And I felt like if I put this out there, maybe it'll inspire some other people to speak their truth or to live more truthfully.
And let's unpack that a little. Let's talk about why you got into this work initially. You are a published author, like you just pointed out. Your social medias, as we've been talking about, are on and popping. You've got incredible groups that meet with moms. What was the factor that led you down this road to want to help other moms? Because you said, you actually didn't say this, but I'm assuming all of your kids are grown at this point. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, I have
an 18.
Yeah, I have an 18-year-old daughter, and then I have sons that are 20, 25, 30, and 36. And what brought me
to
this
work. So aside from being in the thick of it.
Yeah, I mean, I have been parenting teens and young adults for many years, obviously. And really what brought me to the work is my son at the age of 20 becoming addicted to alcohol and walking that journey with him through, you know, trying to find mental health and substance use, the appropriate level of care, and getting him to care and helping him, you know, even as he relapsed a couple of times, to find his long-term, you know, recovery and sobriety. At this point, he is 13 years sober. But struggles every day with mental health issues. So he has diagnoses, and but he is sober, handling it, you know, in a sober manner. So that's what brought me to it. And I guess as a coach, and this is typically the parent that I work with is 18 and older. Doesn't have to be 18 to 25. I pretty much market myself 18 to 25 because the algorithm likes that. So that's what I will say. But okay. 18 and older, like I've worked with parents of, you know, 30-year-olds, 35, you know, but these young adults are struggling with mental health, substance use, sometimes both, some lost in place. And I call it lost in place because I think failure to launch is kind of a negative term. And so, well, there's a book out there that I love titled that. The term that I think is more appropriate is lost in place, because when you're lost, you can be found. So
that's beautiful. I'm curious, because your journey of obviously supporting your oldest son, then probably opened your eyes to your other children as well.
Oh, yeah.
Around, okay, if I'm pouring my time, attention, and care to him, I also have to support these other four babies who need me. Mm-hmm. And you have to parent each kiddo very differently. Yes. So did you find that impacted your relationships with your other four children?
Yes. So when my son, you know, I didn't know anything about adolescent addiction at all. And so I immersed myself in trying to educate myself. It was incredibly challenging. And that really, there's a portion of my book that walks the reader step by step through these months of active addiction and how, you know, how challenging it was for me trying to remain present to all of my other kids while handling and actively addicted young adult who was living 1,200 miles away from me. So it was incredibly stressful. But what that did was cause me to decide to go back to school and to really commit myself. I had had my oldest son when I was 18, and so I had to drop out of college. So many years later, he is the one that also prompted me to go back to college to study addiction and to, and I, my intention was to become a chemical dependency counselor for teenagers. But along that route, I decided I would better serve parents than I would teenagers. So that's what brought me to parent coaching.
Yeah, because you walked in their shoes.
Yes.
And truly, that's what coaches are. It's you find someone that you relate to because they understand you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like you said earlier, people feel like they're alone. So for someone to say, I understand, people are like, oh my gosh, you do? Mm-hmm. Thank you. And how do I overcome this? Because you know, what you went through is supporting someone else's playbook.
Yes.
In a way. Yes. And I mean, we value in our own lives, coaches, therapists, like we can't do this alone. So it's so wonderful that that journey has brought you to helping so many parents.
I think I try to be the person I really needed when I was walking, because I didn't have that. I didn't have a resource. I had friends that were, you know, empathetic, but I didn't have anyone who had actually tried to navigate what is next. Am I enabling? Do I bail him out of jail? You know, is giving him money the wrong thing to do? So I think that's why parents trust and respect the work that we're doing together, is because I can't guarantee that their outcome is going to be the same as mine, right? By any means. But they know that they're going to come to a place of non-judgment. They're going to be treated with compassion. And I'm also going to call them out on their BS if they're, you know, I'm going to call parents out when they need to be called out on things. So, and I think they appreciate that.
They might not in the moment, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. People need to be held accountable. And it is nice to go sit on the couch with a friend who's going to coddle you and feed you ice cream and tell you everything's going to be okay. Sure. But that's a short-term solution when parents are likely looking for the long-term benefits of hiring somebody like you. So I don't want to call it tough love, but in that sense, it kind of is, because that's probably more so what they need in the moment rather than you caressing their head and saying, it's going to be okay, honey, because maybe it's not going to be okay. Right. The okay in that sentence is subjective, because as you pointed out, not every outcome is going to be similar to the outcome that your son has experienced. And that outcome could change, right? There are several factors, especially in today's day and age, that lend itself to who knows what the outcomes are going to be. So I would agree. The loving approach is great because you're a mom and you've been through it and you can relate, but also the accountability piece I think is integral to having successful outcomes for people, which that's also what I want to say. It sounds like you were made for such a time like this, because holy moly, 2020 happens and guess what? We're all locked in our houses with nothing to do, nowhere to go, besides the fact that we could Instacart and be on Zoom, right? So with the kids, we're looking at Zoom burnout and a non-understanding of why we can't be with our friends and why we're not playing soccer and why did everything get cut down. And from the parents' perspective, it's real easy to Instacart handles of liquor to the home and do things like that. So, I mean, it sounds like you primed yourself in going back to school to take one path and wind up on another, and not saying how cool that is, but I would imagine you felt extra useful during that time when parents were probably screaming for help.
Yes, I did. And I will also say it was one of the most difficult things. My husband is also an entrepreneur. He owns a travel business and it has the word cruise in its name. So first I just want to say, I think there were issues and challenges with teens and young adults before lockdown. I think lockdown 1,000%. exacerbated things to a higher level. But what I want to say is I worked in a children's hospital, not coaching parents, but working with parents in a different capacity. And at the end of 2020, after much thought and much heartache, I said to my husband, I need to leave my job and I need to coach parents, not necessarily knowing it was going to be 18 to 25 year olds, but saying, I want to do this. And I held our family's health insurance. And my husband, you know, 2020 was a complete, 2020, 2021, we're now finally just in terms of travel, really getting back to it. But bottom line, you know, I critically left my job at a time when I carried some pretty heavy weight, but fortunately it's worked out. but what I'm saying is that, you know, it's very hard when you're called to a certain passion, and perhaps the two of you can agree with this, when you are really called to do something and you also know that you have bills to pay and how can I make this work? So fortunately, like I said, I think TikTok has been a blessing for many, many people, myself included, just again, to be able to get the word out about resources and help for other people.
Man, I so deeply resonate with that. And I know Mary does too, because we've had to make some pretty big decisions, both personally and professionally, to really commit to the mission that we're on. Mm-hmm. Mary worked a full-time job and owned a business before starting Girls Mentorship with me, and vice versa. I was in the corporate world. Never in a million years thought I was going to be an entrepreneur, and poof, here we are. Mm-hmm. But through that, that has, I think, why we love this work of personal growth and development is because it allows us to take risks like that. And I want to just relate to you on that level, because you have garnered and developed your own set of skill set to help you through the overwhelm and the stressful moments. And you've been doing and practicing your own development for years now to say, I can do this. And to have that hard conversation with your husband, I know it because I had it too. But I'm so glad that I was set up. I had my own tool belt, per se, to help me navigate the highs and the lows. And I think what's interesting now that Mary and I have been doing this work for 3 years is that I for a long time, I was operating like everyone had this tool set, like you know, my circle that I surrounded myself with. But really, it wasn't until when we got into doing work with girls that we learned a lot about their parents, mm-hmm. and that they didn't have the same tools and skills and strategies to deal with life, to parent, to overcome, to be resilient. And that was fascinating for us, because we thought it was girl, girl, girl. And then it was like, hang on, actually, I need to open up my lens to say more people need the tools that we have to support them where they are in their life. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just really interesting that you've been able to be the example, but also then reach your hand back to these parents to help them. Say you need to develop a skill set to help you in whatever it is that you're dealing with in life.
Well, and I think that bridges it perfectly, because that really is the work you do with parents. So segueing into that, can you paint the picture outside of posting videos on TikTok, right? Like that is a very small fraction of what you do. Mm-hmm. What's the work that you do with parents? What's the meat of it that you get into them with to say, hey, I am here. I have this skill set. I went back to school for it. I've got the lived experience. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do to tackle your problems.
Well, we start by setting goals, right? Coaching is, there are some similar elements to traditional therapy and coaching, but coaching is really right now and moving forward. What are the goals? So we look at what kind of goals they're looking to accomplish. A lot of times I work with parents on communication skills, as well as setting boundaries. I mean, I would say these are the two top things, right? How to communicate healthier, better, talk with your young adult as opposed to at them. And there's just in general, I think there's a shift in parenting that's going on, and we have several different terms for it. But I feel like part of what's going on with young people kind of shutting their parents away or disconnecting from their parents is that we, as older generations, need to shift the way we look at parenting. And so, you know, again, the idea of parenting with them and not over them. So it's important when I do a lot of work with parents, just talking about this shift that takes place or needs to take place. And the reason they're getting so much pushback is they're continuing to talk at their kids and not with them. And to always, we were for years talked about how consequences, you have to have an appropriate consequence. Well, you know, when you get to have a 20 or 22 year old living at home, it's hard to, you know, put a consequence in place. So you have to reframe what that looks like. And what it looks like is parents becoming more confident and calm, taking care of themselves so that they can help themselves not be so anxious and be running into rescue and fix. Or, you know, sometimes they're always looking at the lack. So I help parents look to at what are their young adults doing well? What are the, some of the ways that they are moving forward? Okay, they, you know, smoke too much pot and they're, you know, but did they do their laundry? Do they, you know, I'm kind of like yeah, the advocate like, how do we, you know, and then helping them figure out a plan to incrementally move their young adult forward. I have so many parents that will say to me, I will not throw my kid out of the house. However, I am at my wit's end because he won't get a job. He won't go to therapy, even though he needs it. Smokes pot all day, you know, all the things, right? And I think one of the things that also helps me with parents is that I was that 18-year-old that was asked to leave home. I was pregnant and asked to leave home. So I have been through that and I figured it out and it was very difficult and I wouldn't wish it on anyone else.
Recommend?
Yes. I think it's a very last resort and it is necessary if a young adult has had several attempts of maybe rehab or it's a violent situation with a young adult and their parents. There are some situations, but other than that, I really think the big problem is that parents think their kids should be on a timeline that we were on back in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And we just aren't on that same timeline. You know, young adults are about 5 years behind where we were. Like I got married at 23. Now it's average age for getting married is more like 27, 28. Average age of having kids is sometimes even, you know, older than that, obviously, right? So it's taking longer for a number of reasons for young adults to launch and be physically independent. And parents need to understand that, while also holding expectations that are reasonable. It's not an excuse like, okay, you can sit around for 5 years and not do anything. And then we'll talk about this when you're 28, because that would be an appropriate time because I would have given you 5 extra years. Not true. But we have to really make sure that we understand the expectations and what their son or daughter is capable of. What are the skills that they have? What are they lacking? And working on addressing those skills. And if it's not the parent, it might be a coach for a teen or, you know, like it might be another younger mentor type person.
I couldn't agree more. It's so I'm trying to formulate a question because I love everything that you just said. Mary and I in our own business similarly have conversations with parents around expectations, mismanaging expectations because they're parenting their kids now the way that they were parented.
It doesn't work.
And yeah. And it's just that gentle reminder of letting them know that they are their own person. This is a totally different world than we're living in than how you were raised. And where do we find the middle? Mm-hmm. But I'm also, my question is, do you have a lot of parents whose kiddos do leave the nest and then come back? And why? Why? What are kids like those young adults that you're talking about that are 18, 19, leaving the house, but then saying, you know what? I need to come back. because we've also had a few examples of that, of girls that we've personally worked with who have gone and done the college thing, and the college thing didn't work. And now the young adult comes back and is questioning, like, who the heck am I? Mm-hmm. And then it's fueling the harmony inside of the home. And they're, you know, now we're back to kind of square one. So just curious if you've seen that, and what is it that kids are missing or lacking or lagging, like you were saying, that's bringing them back inside the house?
Yeah, because we have obviously our research and development and personal experience with that. But from your perspective, would love to hear what you're seeing, hearing from parents.
Yeah, I would say typically if this scenario is what you're talking about, financially is the number one reason. They either tried and can't afford, they're not budgeting well, things are costing a lot more. So I would say the number one reason is financial, that if they're coming back home, that's typically what it is. Second would be mental health. They get out and they, mm-hmm. you know, they're, something is coming, the level of anxiety, you know, maybe they go through a breakup and they're depressed and whatever, and things just seem to kind of fall apart. And they feel the need to come home, or maybe they don't want to come home, but they like don't have a choice for some reason or another, or they're just, so I would say financial and mental health would be the two things that I've seen is what brings them, in substance use, brings them back home. I think there's a lack of resilience and grit. And I did a video on this that really clocked me in a negative way by young people, like 8,000 young people stitched my first sentence. Oh. And I was highly empathetic and highly like, I was, when I did the video, I was highly emotional, but it was taken out of, it was taken the wrong way. I was emotional for young people and for, you know, truly inquisitive. It was taken by one large creator and made into something completely different. And that caused a huge backlash. So that was, you know, that was devastating in the moment, just because I thought I was going to lose my whole following, but I did not, thank goodness. But I will say, so I think that because, and I've said this in other videos, I think we didn't feel seen or heard when we were being raised. And I think there was a lack of knowledge around emotional life and emotional intelligence that our parents just did not have, that we have now. The problem is, mm-hmm. as Gen X, I think a lot of parents went to the other extreme and really tried to, because they were uncomfortable with frustration, anger, sadness, because they weren't seen and heard when they grew up. Like my age of parents wasn't mm-hmm. seen and heard. And that's an uncomfortable feeling to see your child going through that. So they tried everything they could to stop their kid from feeling certain emotions and try to fix things for them. And so because those young people don't have the experience of, you know, failing at times, of going through something difficult, when it happens in young adulthood, they don't have the emotional bandwidth to handle that, to realize it is actually an opportunity to grow. It just feels super painful.
And the science is there. I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head. We've mentioned the word empathy quite often throughout this conversation. And what you said around COVID just being a launch board for these problems to get exponentially worse is right on the head. Really what research points to is around the year 2000 is when we start seeing empathy take a nosedive and self-absorption go up exorbitantly. And you know, there's obviously several contributing factors to that. But what you just said in terms of parents really wanting to shield their kids from heartache and hardship and failure so they step in and they resolve the issue mm-hmm. for them has lent itself to the self-absorption and the not knowing how to solve problems on their own. So I agree. We both agree in terms of a lack of perseverance. We're seeing that every single day, a lack of grit. And like I said, there's a million reasons why parents have felt the need to do that. One being the fact that they weren't seen or heard and their parents didn't have the emotional capacity to say anything other than pick yourself up by your bootstraps or you're going to be fine, which completely nullifies your feelings. And in order to take some control over that, you then give the control to what you can give it to, which is helping your kids not suffer, not really realizing that that was going to be an issue for them moving mm-hmm. forward. So I am sorry to hear that TikTok is such a funny place in terms of the sound bites people can take and run with, and you never know what's going to catch fire. And I'm sure that that was hard for you in the moment, but thankfully you have perseverance and grit of your own to come back and say, yeah. you know, it's fine yeah. that you guys felt that way and take the time to get to know me and my content before completely taking me out.
Well, and I love that you got to use that as an example mm-hmm. because we live in such a cancel culture. And for you, again, going back to your own skills and tool belt to not be like, oh my gosh, I'm quitting now, because that's again what Mary was just saying. That's grit. That's perseverance. It's okay to learn from something, to acknowledge and take responsibility or our own. Like, hey, that was taken way out of context, and not have that ruin the rest of your career or your following. More kids need examples of that, because when times get tough, we're like, well, we're just going to quit.
Right.
We're just going to quit. Mm-hmm. And and for you to model that in a way to show them like, no, you just keep going.
Well, gosh, and there's something to be said about responsibility digitally. So as a big creator with a big following, it is their due diligence to check out the rest of the video or the rest of the clip that they took heed to yeah. say, I'm going to stitch this and make it mean something different. We talk about that a lot because so much of our lives is hosted online now, and we can make things seem the way we want them to see them. And then we do a disservice to our kids in saying, well, this is how it is, and this is what you need to strive for. This is the opinion that you need to have.
Right.
And the responsibility goes to the creator to not just take what they saw in the moment and run with it. Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to this creator, I did reach out to her and we did have a Zoom call. I did invite her to,
Of course you did.
Well, but I said to her, you don't understand the kind of impact that you had by doing that. You know, I didn't like lecture her. That wasn't my intention, but I just said, I just really want you to be careful. I worked really hard. At the time I had 80,000 followers and she had like 250,000. Mm. And obviously they were all young, you know, young people, because she was a young person. And I just said, you know, I've worked really hard and it would be devastating to me at this point, because I'm just starting to see my business grow because of this. And I've been through a lot personally to try and get here. And so anyway, she ended up inviting me on live and we had a conversation and we talked. I said, I think we can really use this as a good conversation to bridge the gap between the generations. Would you be willing to do that? So she thought about it and then she invited me live, and we had about I think like 800 people were live on that. And so, you know, it was good. But what I learned bottom line is, don't hit the record button just because you need to get 6 videos done that day and you're emotional because you just came off of your consultation calls. Be careful what you say and how you say it, and think about it before just putting on TikTok, because you need to get a video on TikTok, because again, it was crazy. And it didn't ever make me think I want to quit at this, but it certainly does really allow you to think about a lot of negative energy coming at you, and I'm highly empathetic, so it's a lot. It was a lot. So, but nonetheless, I persevered.
I mean, so many great lessons. Seriously, think before you speak. Make sure you don't close off the gap for communication. It sounds like, I mean, this podcast is called What's the Lesson? It sounds like there were so many great lessons derived from that one particular instance. So
that's
awesome. Way to be an example and way to not shut somebody else down who you also probably didn't understand at the time. I think that's also something huge we're seeing right now is just a lack of empathy towards other people's opinions and perspectives. Right. Mm. So that I'm sure was an incredibly impactful moment, not for just for you and for her, but the people who also joined who may have wanted to pitchfork you along the way. So that's really cool. It's a good ending to what was a tumultuous story on its own.
And final question that I would love to ask, because I know we have a ton of parents listening to our podcast, and if they are, there's been so many wonderful things that we've talked about with our time together, but if parents are struggling right now with their young adult and they're questioning what to do, how can we guide them to the first step in getting them the support that they need? From your experience.
Yeah. Do you mind, you guys, I would love to leave you with a quote for parents to think about, because then, of course, there's 20 other steps after that, right? But I think I would love, if you're okay, to leave you with the quote that was actually downloaded to me, and it's actually the last page in my book. Because I think no matter what age your kids are, you can think about this quote, and it is, "Our children come through us, not for us, except for the lessons that they reflect to us during their journey in an effort to grow us up along the way." So if you are struggling with your teen or your young adult, what is this situation and what is your young adult and their behavior trying to teach you?
I mean, they really are a mirror, and that quote is beautiful for that, because, right, you got pregnant at 18, you had never been pregnant before, which means that you'd never parented a one-year-old before, which fast forward, it meant you had never parented a 30-year-old before.
That's right.
And I think we take that for granted in terms of never having done it before. And even though you had four more kids to follow, you had never parented those kids. So there is such a beautiful, it's a beautiful quote to just remind us that we're also new in this.
Yes.
Regardless of how many times we've done it, there's something to be learned every single time.
And that there isn't there's not a playbook. There's not a guide to say step one, step two, step three.
Right.
And oftentimes we as parents feel so disappointed, and moms especially, having that mom guilt, because we feel like we let our kids down.
Yes.
And it's a gentle reminder of just doing your best and, you know, having that relationship. I want to use your words. You said parent with them, not over them.
Right.
And I think that is also really important as you parent all of your kiddos.
Yes. I would absolutely agree. And I will say, you're right, there's no manual, but I tell parents they're the manual on which their grandchildren will be raised. And so what kind?
Oh,
whoa.
Well, and I don't say that. I don't say that to add pressure to parents. I say that because it's
no,
reality.
But mic drop moment.
Right. It's the reality. You are writing the manual on which your grandchildren will be raised. So what kind of book do you want to write?
And with that, you guys, we're going to close up shop, because that is so true. Kim, thank you so much. Always, I mean, like I said, this is the best part about podcasting, is getting to reach out to other people in you're not exactly in our area, but you are within youth mental health and development in a different facet. And just getting to have conversations like this are eye-opening and helpful. And we will have your book, your TikTok, your Instagram all linked in our show notes for people to reach out and find you. And just so much appreciation for the time you've given us today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I'm so happy to have met you.
Of course, yeah. Same. And until next time, y'all, we'll see you on the next episode of What's the Lesson?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks so much for tuning in to What's the Lesson.
If you're feeling the same I can do anything attitude that we are, here's how you can keep the momentum going.
Spread the good vibes. Share this episode with your friends, family, or give us a shout out on your social media.
Fancy a trip to iTunes Town? We're all ears for your ratings and reviews. Seriously, we read each one of them. Your thoughts are like gold to us.
Lastly, let's be friends. Hang out with us on social media for more awesome content and behind the scenes action.
And until we meet again, remember our golden rule. Turning those WTF moments into WTL moments is a superpower.
Practice is always progress.
And you've got this.